Perig Yud Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Vatisa kol ha'edo vayitnu es koilom vayivko om balayla hu. The Klal Yisrael cried that night, and Chazal tell us, because they cried a bechir, a crying for nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed them that night would be a night for what to cry about, for Churban HaBayis, and that became the night of Tisha B'Av. The Chavetz Chaim says, what was the chet of the Meraglim of Klal Yisrael? What was the problem over here? Pasha Pshat, you learn, it was a chesaron in Emunah, in Bitochen. They didn't trust that they would be able to get there. So he says it's impossible that that was the chet. Klal Yisrael had seen so many nisim over and over again, whether it was Yetzias Mitzrayim, Akris Yamsuf, Mochemes HaMolik. They'd seen enough nisim, Amon, a Be'er. There was no doubt they knew the Rabbani Shalom can take them into Eretz Yisrael. So what was the chet? So Chavetz Chaim in the Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, he has a long piece on Beshalach, which is worth reading through. He says, Yesoidus in life. He says over here that the Yetzer Hara has a way of working, and he says it's Negeah to us as well. And you have to see how it worked back then. The Meraglim looked at Eretz Yisrael, and they came back, they said, the Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful place, like we were told. And of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam has the koyach to take us into Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam can do anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam has done miracles, it can do miracles. But there's a little problem. And the problem is, the Meraglim said, we have to be worthy. We don't deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael. We made an egel. If it wouldn't have been an egel, if it wouldn't have done things wrong, of course we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. We trust the Ribbono Shel Olam. But after this Chet HaEgel, after we've messed up, now it's not Shaykh. We don't deserve it anymore. And that is what Klal Yisrael were crying about. They had this tremendous lack of self-esteem, of being able to do it. They were miyayish. They gave up hope. Like the Kotzker Rebbe says, Pshat the Gemara Bav Metzia, Yish Shalom Midas, the Sugi Yish Shalom Midas, Yish giving up hope, that Shalom Midas, that's without Das, that's without Seichel. A Yid should never give up. Of course you can do it. So Kalev came along, and Vayas Kalev's arm, how did he quiet the people? He said, what else did Ben Amram do for us? And when he said the words Ben Amram, they thought they were going to say bad things about Moshe. He didn't even want to mention his name. They started listening. And he tells them, he split the sea for us. So the Chavetz Chaim explains, what was he saying by that? He was saying that Klai saw by the Yamsuf, the Malachim Tainet, Halolo Ivdei Avodah Zarah, Valolo Ivdei Avodah Zarah. Klai saw by Yamri Yisrael by Yamsuf. They rebelled at the Yamsuf. And what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu still split the Yamsuf. He gave us the Mon. By the Mon, there was a misloinim. People were complaining there by the Mon. And still they got the Mon. There was constant difficulties that Klai Yisrael made. Constant chatoim Klai Yisrael did. And every time, still, the Ribbono Shel Olam came through for them. You don't have to worry. With your chatoim, the Ribbono Shel Olam still loves you. He'll still bring you into Eretz Yisrael. But again, they didn't believe Kalev. And they cried. They lacked in that. They lacked in their self-esteem. And that we can do it. We have the possibility to do it. And the Chavetz Chaim goes on to explain, in life, it's like that with us as well. That the Yetzer comes to us and says, that what are you trying for? You're never going to make it. Who are you? You're nothing. You can't make it. We see this concept very clearly by the Meraglim in the Pasuk before already. The Pasuk before says, V'anehi ve'inenu kechagovim. We were in our eyes like grasshoppers. V'chein hayinu be'ineihem. And so we were in their eyes. Last year, I mentioned the famous Rav Nekotzker Rebbe. He explained the Taina was over here that, okay, you felt you were grasshoppers compared to them. But how do you know what they looked at? How do you know what they felt? Don't start imagining what other people think of you. That's not your business. You have to worry about other people, what they're thinking. You've got no idea what they're thinking. That's how the Kotzker learns it. I saw in Derech Sich, Chaim Kanievsky Sefer, somebody said this pshat to him, which he agreed to. The pshat is, V'nehi ve'inenu kechagovim. We were in our eyes like grasshoppers. How did they know what they were in their eyes? If that's how you look at yourself, you can be sure other people look at you like that. The way You imagine yourself. If you look at yourself as a nothing, other people look at you as a nothing. A person has to have a certain stolz, not gaiva, of course, but you have to know that you have a certain value, a certain worth. If you don't, you're right. Everybody look at you as a piece of garbage. And that's the pshat in Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva said to his Talmidim, Shali v'shalachem shalohi. He said about his wife, my Torah, your Torah, it's all my wife's. What's the pshat? Because she was a bas ashirim. She was a daughter of a very rich person. She could have had any shidduch she wanted. But she chose Rabbi Kiva. She wanted Dafka Rabbi Kiva. Because she saw what she could achieve with Rabbi Kiva. And she built up Rabbi Kiva and made Rabbi Kiva who he was. He was only who he was because she built up his self-esteem. And all began by the fact that she took him, that she wanted to marry him. He realized then, there must be something to me. I can achieve it. Just by picking him already gave him that self-esteem to be able to make him become Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva recognized that. And perhaps that's also the pshat, I was thinking. In Ovid Reb Noson, you have the famous story that Rabbi Kiva saw a stone and the water made a hole in a stone. And he said, if water can make a hole in a stone, how much more Torah can have an effect on me? And it says there, after he saw that, Chazal Ilmoid, he went back to learn. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Madaik, Chazal Ilmoid, he went back to learn, means he had learned previously. He'd already learned. We didn't know the story like that. We always look at the story as he began learning then. It doesn't say that. It says Chazal Ilmoid. He had learned previously and I went back to learn. So why did he stop learning? Probably the pshat must be is that he gave up. He said, how am I going to make it? I'm going to learn Shas. I'm going to be able to learn the Ketzais and the Sivis. I'm not going to be able to do it. So therefore, when he saw the water can make on its own, he saw that it is possible. And then he went to try again. He needed himself to work on himself to be able to come back because he was lacking in the self-esteem and he'd given up because of that. This is an agar to each of us individually. We have to realize how much we can accomplish. And if we look at what we can accomplish and make goals for ourselves, we will accomplish them. But it's also very agar is to be very careful not to batter somebody else's self-esteem. Because this is very common in the boys' high schools. Boys are very cruel. And they think it's cool to say somebody, you know, to run down somebody, to destroy somebody, make fun of somebody. And that's not a nice, not just, it's not a nice thing to do. You can mummish, ruin somebody for life with it. You have to be so careful. On the other hand, you build somebody up. It's incredible what that person could become, and all in your schuz. I once heard from Moshe Meir Weiss. He said over that his bar mitzvah was Parshas Veschanon. But he says his parents were going to make the bar mitzvah in a hotel, and Parshas Veschanon, Shabbos Nachamu, you can't get a hotel then. They're all booked big weekends then. So they decided to make the bar mitzvah Parshas Shoftim. It's a minig America, you can put off a bar mitzvah a few weeks, I guess. So a couple of weeks before Parshas Veschanon, his father said to him, you know, Parshas Veschanon will be in the bungalow colony, and even though you're learning Parshas Shoftim, maybe you could also learn Veschanon, perhaps you could learn it quickly. So he said, sure. And he went and he worked hard and he learned Parshas Veschanon. And he learned Parshas Veschanon in his bungalow colony. And he says, after he finished learning, a boy came over to him, and the boy said to him, guy was, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. 19-year-old said to him, not bad, only 19 mistakes. He says it hurt him so much, it bothered him so much, he said it took him many, many, many Yom Kippurs to be able to forgive that boy. And I can tell you, I heard him saying over the story, and I'm not sure if he even got over it yet the way he was saying it. The way he was describing his feelings, they were so strong, it looks like he still has very strong feelings about it. So this boy, you can be sure, said that to him. I guarantee you 24 hours later, he never remembered he said it. And if you would ask him a month later, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. Little did he know what an impression he left on this bar mitzvah boy. How much he hurt him. Years and years later, it still hurt him. We can just say lines like that. Battering somebody's self-esteem. Terrible thing that. On the other hand, we see the Gemara in Tana says that Eliyahu Novi was in the marketplace and Rav Breuker asked him, is there anybody here who's a Ben Olam Habo? He said, yeah, those people over there. So he went over to them and he asked them, what do you do? And they said, we're Bat Chonim. And Rashi explains, when somebody is upset, we cheer them up. We make people happy. In other words, we build up people. And because of that, they cheer up people. They're bent on my ball because of that. That's the opportunity we have. We're nice to somebody. For that, it could be a bent on my ball. And on the other hand, Rahman, it's not what you could do to somebody. At the beginning of the parasha, Moshe gives a bracha to Yeshua. He adds the Yud to his name. Kodesh Baruch should protect you from the plans of the Meraglim. And all the Mepharshim ask, why is it that Yeshua got this bracha? Why didn't Kalev get such a bracha? So I always heard of Pshat is, very simple why. Because who was Kalev married to? Right, Miriam. With a wife like Miriam, you have a wife like that, an Ishchai like that, there was no worry. But the truth is, my brother of David, he added even better than that. Because what does Rashi say at the beginning of the parasha? Rashi says, Lama nispcha parashas Meraglim, the parashas Miriam. Why is the parasha of the Meraglim next to the parasha Miriam? Rishoyim halol ro'u v'loy lachamusa. Because these Rishoyim saw what happened to Miriam. She spoke lashnar about her brother, and they didn't take Musa from it. So it comes out that the Meraglim were expected to take Musa, and they didn't take Musa. Miriam's husband was Kalev. If anybody is going to take Musa, it's Kalev. Even if they didn't take Musa from it, he lived with it. His wife was separated from 7 days. So it's no wonder he didn't need a bracha at all. He saw what happened when somebody speaks Lashon Hara. He didn't just see it, he felt it, he experienced it. So for him, it was pretty safe that he wasn't going to speak Lashon Hara. The Maral asked the Kasha, what's Rashi's Kasha? Lama Nismecha. Why is the Parashim Ragim next to the Parashim Miriam? It was chronologically what happened. After that story, this took place next. So what he was asking, why is it written? That's how it happened. So he explains the Rashi slightly differently. He explains Pshat is, Lo menispecha parashas Meraglim parashas Miriam, Rashi's kasha is that Klal Yisrael had asked for spies beforehand. It wasn't the first time they were asking for spies. And Moshe always said no. He didn't trust them. He was nervous. They send spies, who knows what could happen? Like in the end did happen. So Moshe didn't allow it. So what made Moshe agree now to send spies? So says Rashi, that the Klai Yisrael had now seen what Lashon Hara does. It's a question. Are they going to see it? And they're not going to take Musa? Of course they're going to take Musa. Now it's safe to send Meraglim. We don't have to worry anymore because they have seen what Lashon Hara causes, and now they won't speak Lashon Hara anymore about Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk says, Omoha Oretz, Hashmeino hi imroza, Hayesh po eitz im ayin. Are there trees there or not? Says Rashi, Hayesh po eitz, im yesh bem odom kosher, if there is a good person, a tzaddik, sheyegen alem to protect them b'schusoy. Then the schus of this tzaddik, that they'll be protected, do they have such people living among them? So why didn't Rashi learn Parshat Pshat? Hayesh po eitz. Maybe they're supposed to check out if there's trees there. So simply we could say Pshat is, if it's asking about trees, it should say Hayesh po eitzim. Are there trees? Secondly, you could say Al pi Pshat. They ask Hashmeino hi amroza, what type of land it is. So trees aren't included. And even if there is no trees there, trees are something you could always plant later on. So that wouldn't be of interest to know about the trees. So it must be he's asking about a tzaddik. But if it's talking about a tzaddik, then you could ask. Moshe tells them where to go and check out the cities, Maha Orim, what type of cities there are. Why doesn't Moshe tell them, go into the Beis HaMedrash? You want to see if there's a tzaddik there, you want to tell them. Check out the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, and see if there's a tzaddik there. He doesn't seem to mention that at all. So I saw a very beautiful pshat. Is you want a tzaddik to protect the city? Not every tzaddik to protect the city. A person just sits and learns all day, maybe that's not enough, it's going to protect the city. It's got to be the type of tzaddik that the influence he has is everywhere else. He influences the city, that the city is different because of him. So you go and check out the cities, and through the way the cities are acting, you can tell Hayesh Po Eitz, if there's a tzaddik there. That is the type of tzaddik that the city will be protected by him, because he's influencing them. If he has no influence on the city, why should they be protected? Because he's a tzaddik. So he'll be protected. Nothing will happen to him. Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Vav. Says, "Vayipol Moshe va'Aaron al pneim lifnei kol gadol lifnei Yisrael." And then next pasuk Vav, "Vayishua ben Nun v'cholev ben Yifuna min ha'torim es ha'aretz." They were from the people who spied out the land. Koru bigdeim, they ripped their clothing. What is the pasuk telling me? Yeshua and Kalev, you know who they were? They were two of the spies. Yeah? They were? Parsha, we know that. Told us the beginning of the parasha. Told us enough times already. We know Yeshua and Kalev. So why is the pasuk adding? The Yeshua ben Nun, the Kalev ben Yifuna, min ha-tzori min ha-oretz. Why does it need to write it over here now? So the pshat is, that what it's saying is, that Kalev and Yeshua were questioning themselves. They're upset at themselves that we should be mashpi on the other meraglim. How is it that they came and said Lashon Hara? We were together with them. Why couldn't we convince them to see the good of Eretz Yisrael? Why couldn't we convince them they shouldn't say Lashon Hara of Eretz Yisrael? They felt a taina on themselves. The Yeshua ben Nun v'chol ben Yifunam. Because min ha-torim eretz korbik deim, it's giving the reason. Why did they tear their clothing? Not because just because of what they see, what's happening in front of them. That Moshe and Aaron have fallen on their face. The Klais are rebelling. They're crying because they feel that they have a chelik in it. They didn't do enough. They should have done more than they did as they taught Korea. Parigud Gimel Pasuk Lamed says, Vayas Kolev Isa'om. Kolev quietened the people. El Moshe. Now if you look at the sequence of events, the Gemara in Soita tells us the rest of the story. What we don't see in the Torah, Chazal add a little bit more. In Soita Daf Lamed Hamad Beis, the Gemara says there, maybe it's Lamed Hamad Aleph, that Yeshua got up. It wasn't Kalev who got up first. First Yeshua got up to speak to Klai Yisrael. Whatever Kalev did, Yeshua tried before him to do it. And what happened? As soon as he got up, Klai Yisrael started screaming at him, Reish Ketir. This Roish Ketir, Yamala, he's going to speak. Now what does Roish Ketir mean? So Rashi Nagmar says, Roish Ketua, like his head is chopped off. What does that mean, his head is chopped off? Shein Lo Bonim. He has no sons. So we're not going to listen to such a person who has no sons. The Marsha asks that Yeshua at that time was only 42 years old. He can still have children. In other words, he doesn't care about going to Israel. He has no children to inherit the land. That's what they were saying. We have children to worry about. He has no children to worry about. So Rashi says, so he doesn't have. But there's plenty of time still. He'll go into Israel. He'll have children. At 42, you can have children still. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden, on the Gemara there, the Yaibut says, that the Gemara in Megillah Yud Dalam Bey says, that he had daughters. So if he had daughters, they will inherit. So what's the Rashi even saying? He doesn't have to come onto the Rashi's Kasha. If he had daughters, they will inherit. So therefore, what are they saying? He has nobody to inherit. The Gemara is even more shver. He has people to inherit. He has daughters. So what does the Gemara mean? Reish ketiuze. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to say, b'dieved, you could say, a doichik, that he didn't have the daughters yet either now. The daughters were born later on from Rochav. That's only after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So they thought, Klai Yisrael thought, there's an akar. He's unable to have children. He's 42. He doesn't have children yet. Probably is physically unable to have children. So he's physically unable to have children, therefore he doesn't care about going to Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, if you look at Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Yud Dalet, says there, V'avdi Kalev, Ekev Ruach Acheres Oisaboy, there was something special about him. And then it mentions, the Ramban mentions, that it mentions Kalev in a few Pesukim later before Yeshua. What was so special about Kalev, says the Ramban? Ba'avur ki uhiktim lachleik alam raglim. He was the first one to fight back against the Raglim. Like we see, Vayahas Kalev. This Ramban is Mamash Apella. This Ramban is Kenega the Gemara we just learned. The Ramban says that Kolev was the first one to fight with the Meraglim, when the Gemara in Saita says clearly it was Yeshua who fought the Meraglim. Hatzlacha Rabba in your region.